before 10 o'clock even got here today, some of you folks in your chairs, you started worshiping the Lord. Some of you raising your hands up. Some of you were focusing on the Lord. And just, it causes His presence to come. You know, it causes His presence to come. He dwells in the presence, the praise and worship of His people. Okay? And what He wants to do is magnify that in your lives and in this assembly. Okay? And this way He wants me to take you down the road this morning. We love the Lord. We always want to grow. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Now, imagine this. There was two or three of you really getting into it before 10 o'clock. Welcome in the presence of the living God. Let's triple that. Let's take it. When we enter into this house in the morning, when we come in the house of God in the morning, and we are excited to see everyone. Amen?
Amen?
Okay? But let's concentrate on God. When we enter into a time of prayer, praising, focusing on Him, you be at the altar, you sit there in your chair, and just boom, boom. We have an awesome time of fellowship after the service.
Amen.
Amen? We do. And we might be here for 2 hours after I say amen. Okay? But in the presence of the living God, things take place. He comes like a flood where He's welcome. As His people, as Him, God, we call out to You this morning. We just praise You. We worship You. Really coming from your heart. Not to fake it. It doesn't do any good if you don't, you know, if we come down here and say, here I am. Desire. A desire. Because when His presence comes, and if He wasn't taking me this route this morning on the teaching, we would still be praising Him and worshiping Him. Letting His presence come, because it's in His presence. It's in His presence is where He is glorified and lives are changed.
Amen.
You know? And so like, I pictured it this morning when me and the Lord were speaking, it's kind of like my wife here, before she's my wife. If I call her up on a Friday, hey, how you doing, hon? Doing good? Yeah. But I just, you know, I can't wait to see you on Sunday. I just can't wait. You know, I want to be with you. And, then I hang up. I don't call her to the following Tuesday. Okay, well, she's going to be kind of upset a little bit. I started wooing her for Sunday. Hey, honey, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, okay, I call her on Thursday. But I just get to the point where, man, I just want her to be with me, but I don't continue. Then after a while, she's not going to answer my phone, is she? Well, it's the same way of God. I mean, as we start worshiping Him in His house and His presence comes, we want to continue to be in that worship. Because it's like, well, it's not like it. It's the Holy Spirit coming down and meeting with us. And we're worshiping God. And that's what we're here for, right? Every one of us, we want more of God in our life. And we want to understand God greater. Yeah, this is just Him teaching us this morning, okay? He's just taking us to another level of our worship and our praise. Because, again, there's mighty things that He wants to do in you and through you. And as we understand Him more, the greater He'll be able to do that. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible. Can you believe that? There's a scripture in the Bible? But I'm going to go to Acts right now, and I'm going to read it to you. You're welcome to join me. I want to show you something that really jumped out at me. And of all the time we've been there, and we spoke about it many, many times. And see, again, God wants us just to embrace Him more and just concentrate on Him more. I'll go there later on. Acts 16, verse 23. Uh-huh. And we're talking about the Apostle Paul and Silas. And we're looking at where they were out doing the work of the Lord. And there's a lady that was possessed with a demon. And so they cast the demon out of her. Amen, right?
Amen.
But not everybody was happy. Because somebody was using her in witchcraft to tell people's future, and they were making a lot of money that way. You know, it'd be kind of like, I used to be a cop. Fred, you're a drug dealer. Okay? I bust you. Put you in jail. I'll make a lot of people happy, but not you. You know what I'm saying? And this is what has happened. You know, the lady was excited. She was set free. People around them wasn't worrying about witchcraft anymore, but the ones that was using her was very upset. So what did they do? They had them arrested. Had Paul and Silas arrested and put them in jail. And verse 22 of chapter 16 of Acts says, "And the crowd rose up against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods." And the crowds rose up against them. I think, why would they? You know, probably because all they heard, Betty, was somebody yelling, "Hey, listen, they took my means of support. Man, we had a job going on here. We were making money. I got three kids at home. And I got a wife. And these people came and they are the ones that took my livelihood away from me. Oh, rise up against it. How could you do that?" And they get so upset, not realizing that what took place benefited them. If you ever see anything happens today? You ever see riots take place and crowds go crazy over something that they don't know what it was? Well, yeah, but it's just, yeah. And so, I know. But I'm just saying that's what I mean. Evil had been removed, but the people didn't recognize it because their ear was more tended toward the one who was complaining about losing their livelihood, you know? And we do see that. We see people get arrested, and people will look more at how they were arrested and why they were arrested for. Okay? But anyway, it says, "They tore off their robes and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight," it says, "Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains came unfastened." Paul and Silas knew God. Amen?
Amen.
Paul and Silas knew Jesus Christ. Amen. They were followers of Christ. They understood their ways. They're thrown in the prison around people who probably don't have no idea who God is or who Jesus is. And in their time of affliction, where most people would be complaining, you know, be whining, what were they doing? Is praising God. And what happened during that praise? What happened during that worship? They were bound. They couldn't move. In fact, they thought they were going to die. You know, we're beating them, going home for so long. At midnight, everyone else is complaining. Everybody else is probably talking, whining, complaining about everything else. Two people who had the most reason probably to be complaining and whining was praising God, giving Him glory. And because of those two, what happened? Man, the earthquake took place and the chains set them free, but not just them. Everybody in the place, whatever was binding them, boom, was broken. Doors came off of hinges. They were totally set free because of two people worshiping God. And folks, it's the same way here. Some men are here today not really sure who God is, who Jesus is. But they're here and they're wrapped up, they're bound up in something. And we come in, you come in, knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, being a disciple, a follower of the Lord. Look what can take place as we enter into His presence. And we start praising Him. Well, Father, we just praise You today. You know, I had a tough week, but you know, I still continue to worship You. I praise You, Lord. We welcome Your presence here. Lives are changed in the presence of the living God. Lives are changed. We are encouraged, we are strengthened, we are set free. In the presence, and just as we walk in the presence of the Lord here, those around you who may not know the Lord, they can be set free too, just because He's welcome, He's worshipped. It's because He's being praised. Look how awesome that is. Think of that. And you felt that here again today. And several times throughout the last couple of months, you just feel that it's just like we come in and in the pocket, we'll just start worshiping and praising Him. Ooh, He just starts coming down. And then like this morning, it started going, you know? I never had to say His time, did I? No, in fact, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? You want me to share this, but we're going to continue to praise and worship in Your presence, or share this first? But He wanted me to share that He wants us to understand Him with, He is a holy God, amen?
Amen.
He's a righteous God. Amen. He is God, the creator of the universe. Man, we enter here, He is a number one goal this morning as we enter here, is to worship Him, to praise Him. Man, just to glorify His name. And have, we don't want anything to interfere with that. Nothing to stop that. We want God to do what God wants to do in here this morning. And as His presence comes down, just by washing across the sanctuary, it touches lives. How does it work? Well, some of them might be sitting there thinking there's no hope in life. And as the Holy Spirit goes through, they realize there is hope. They feel the presence of the living God. They understand that there is a life, and a life worth living. They realize that, man, they can change their life, that they can turn around from what they've been into, that God has a plan and purpose for them just by the moving of the Holy Spirit, just to set those chains free. You know, Paul and Silas, they weren't praising God to escape, Fred. You know that? They weren't saying, well, let's pray, you know, real hard here and we'll get God to set us free. No. I'm bound up. No, that's okay. He's still worthy to be praised. He's still going to glorify His name today. Hey, my doctor report, okay, he gave me a report. But God, You are still God. You're still holy. You're still worthy to be praised and worshipped. Lost my job Friday. Hey, God, You're still worshiping. You're still God. You provide all my needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, as we focus on, oh man, and just made a place of refuge as we come in here. And He just, His presence comes. Man, He touches our lives. And that's what Paul and Silas, I mean, they're just worshiping God, what they've always done. And man, the jailer came back and thought he's going to lose his job because everyone was set free, but they didn't take off because they were there. They wouldn't cause the jailer any problem. But what this represents is people been bound, but wrapped up in sin, not be able to escape from it. And just because of praise and worship, man, they were set free from it. See, Paul and Silas, they knew the secret how to lift their hearts above their troubles and enter into God's presence and His power. He knows how to do that. The Bible tells us that He dwells in the praises of His people, right?
Amen?
Amen? Okay. So how do we have Him dwell with us?
Praise Him
and worship Him. Yeah. It's just focusing on Him. Saying, Lord, what are we going to do today? There's a song we sing. What are you going to do today, Lord? What are you going to do today? Miracle, sign, or wonder. What are you going to do today? You're not clapping, Fred. Okay. But that's truly what it is. As we enter here on Sundays, oh, Lord, get the church. Woo, it's 9:30. God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? Man, we were coming in here today. Man, Lord, we just praise You. God, You are worthy to praise. We just thank You. What are you going to do today, Lord? What are you going to do today? Woo! You're going to touch my kids today, Lord? Woo! You're going to set them free today? You're going to set me free today, Lord? Lord, I just want to worship You. I want to praise You. I give You the glory. That is what it's all about. You know, I know you don't get excited sitting in the doctor's office in the waiting room waiting to go in, okay? Unless you're really, really sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you really want to know what is going on, you really want to know a cure for the way you feel, then you're excited. I jumped for joy the day the analyst picked me up because Shockton Hospital in Cleveland Clinic had a room for me after 4 days of waiting. Woo! I want to go! Yes, yes! You know, I'm in the analyst going up, I'm looking backwards. My wife, my kids behind me, I'm waving at them, you know, woo, we're going up. Finally, I've been in the waiting room, but now I'm going into the operating room. And that's what it is here. Man, we come in here this morning, we start praising Him. We're in the waiting room. waiting for His presence to come. Woo! Hey, Lord! Praise You! And then as He comes, man, we go from the waiting room into the presence of the great physician. What are You going to do today, Lord? I welcome You here. I welcome You here. Now, I know, right, if I didn't want to go to Cleveland Clinic, I still probably would have went. My wife would have drugged me. She would have forced me in there. The doctor would talk to me. He would still be able to do something for me, but He'd knock me out with that laughing gas, okay? But look how much more He can do for me if I am a willing patient. Say, hey, this is what's going on, Doc, for the last 6 months. This and this and this has been going on. I come to You, man, to help me, to heal me, to raise me up, to encourage me. Give me another day if You can. It's the same way we speak to God. God, hear Him! Woo! This has been going on in my life. I've been fighting this. I've been falling down here. And Lord, just come. Come today. I'm going from the waiting room into Your presence, Lord. Come and touch me. Or maybe today You're 100% perfect. Well, Lord, I'm here today. There's somebody here today, Lord, that needs to be in Your presence. They need a touch from the Master's hand. God, I'm walking right now. I'm going to take them with me into Your presence that You can work through me to them. Amen? I mean, have you ever been in the waiting room and you see people there that you think, man, they're worse than I am? What do I have to complain about? The awesome thing is, if you're there, you're there for a reason. Same as they are. And let the doctor take care of you. And let the doctor take care of them. Don't ever think that the reason you're in the doctor's office, you should leave because you're not quite as bad as the next person. Because we all need the physician, right? We all need the physician, the great physician, Jesus Christ. But in order with you, as we come in here, it's kind of you made it to the waiting room. They're praising Him. Let His presence come. I mean, we can come in here. I don't say we can't because we never have. But you can come in here, sit down. Never lift a voice to the Lord. Never praise Him. You can spend an hour in here and walk out of here. You'll be just as miserable as when you came in. Sitting in church doesn't do what God wants to do. It's a good place to start. Being in the waiting room, Kathy, is a good place to start, right? Amen. At least you're there. You made it there, okay? But man, when you transfer from the waiting room into the great physicians, man, He can do whatever He wants to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's what Paul and Silas was. Man, he said, man, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You right here. And because of their dedication, man, they were set free. They really thought that He's going to die that night. Yeah, remember, they were beaten with rods, thumped. Everybody hated Him. Nobody wanted Him anymore. So they're praising God. Hey, Lord, we just praise You, you know. And you know what? God wasn't done yet. Now, to them, they would have died that night. Man, look at them. They'd be in glory. But the Lord said, okay, I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to set you free. And here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about what they did. Amen? Yeah, because God had a purpose for them. They didn't escape from prison and go hide, did they? No, they didn't. In case you haven't read the story, they have no. Now later on, you'll find Paul in prison in Rome because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even in prison, he found favor. But God released them, and today, even 2,000 years later, we're being encouraged what He did. It says in Psalms 22:3. That God dwells in the praises of His people. Whew. This means that praise is more than a reaction of coming into His presence. Praise to God is a vehicle of faith which takes us into His presence and into His power. Praise and worship is a gate pass which allows us to enter into His holiness. In Psalms 104 it says, enter to His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Wow, enter into His courts with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, hallelujah, and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know, one thing we give God that He can't give Himself is our praise, our worship, and our blessing. We can bless God, we just bless You today. Isn't it awesome we can do that? Jesus taught in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It says a gathering in his name. Hallelujah. As Christians, we gather here today in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, in his name. And we focus on him. He is the center of the reason we're here. Hallelujah. Think of that. It is a center. He's the reason why you're here if you're a born again Christian, here because of Jesus Christ. You're focused on him. You say, man, look what the Master did. Look what he's doing. Look what he wants to do through us. God, we just praise you, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, that you need in my life or out of my life, man, this is good. Bring it to me. Show me what it is. Get rid of it. I want more and more of you. And as we are focused more and more on Jesus as a center of our assembly, man, his presence is there. You know, boom, you know, two or three, we've got maybe 30 or 40 here this morning coming in here into his presence to worship him, to love him. Look at the difference. And just like Paul, they didn't have to lift a finger. The Spirit of God ran through and set people free just by God being welcome into the midst of their situation. So a gathering means that Jesus is the focus. Gathering his name, he is the focus. It means that our thoughts should be focused on Jesus. Or if we can even, or conversation, and we did Friday, we went around the table, service table, whatever, and it had a simple question. It was, hey, what's your favorite story about Jesus? You know, what's the favorite thing that Jesus did that kind of encouraged you? You know, what's in the gospel? And you know, you just take that moment and you focus on it. When you start focusing on the Lord, even during our soup kitchen, it just starts drawing his presence there. It just strengthens us. You know, so the more that we focus on him, and folks, you can do this at home. Yeah. You can worship God at home. Amen? Yeah. We do quite often. We live in the country, so sometimes we might even crank up the gates a little bit more than you can in the city, you know? Or we just shut it all down. Sometimes it's silent worship with him. Well, sometimes it's worship through songs, through praise. I worship him to tell how thankful I am. I bring back to his remembrance all that he's done for me. He didn't forget it. But as I recall all that God has done for me, I'm praising him. What does that do? That strengthens me. That encourages me. That whatever this thing that I'm going to go through, he'll bring me through it. He's done it before. Through praise and worship. In Hebrews 2:12, it says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ's presence, along with his virtue and anointing, is manifested in this type of gathering. But it's awesome to get together and see what's going on in our lives and how God is blessing us and all he's doing. But we focus on him during the praise and worship. We focus on him as we come in here. Man, we give him more opportunity to voice through the congregation, to touch lives and change lives. And man, you'll just feel his presence more and more and more. You know, there's what the Bible titles as gifts of the Spirit that God gives us. You know, that's healing, that's peace, that's strength. All that operates more and more in the presence of the Lord. Praise means to commend, to applaud, or magnify. For us, it means to praise God to expression of worship, lifting up holy, glory and honor to the Lord. It's humbling ourselves and centering our attention upon the Lord, truly with a heartfelt expression of love and gratitude and thanksgiving to him. You know, sometimes maybe, like we say a lot of times on Sunday mornings, we start worshiping at home before I'm sitting there in my chair having my coffee. As I concentrate on the Lord, just to get my focus more and more. Worship him every day, so do you. But just more, okay, Lord, we're coming together. We're gathering. Some folks coming this morning, Father, man, they're on fire for you. They're born again. Other ones, God, you'll send us today. They're looking. They need hope. They need what you offer, Father, your Lord. So we just want to welcome your presence right now. Because you know one thing? In the presence of the living God, there's something that flees from us. Who would you think that would be? Satan. Satan cannot stand to be in the presence or listen to God or Jesus Christ being glorified. Think of it. He hates it. It drives him nuts, you know. You know, we leave Christian music at home on when we leave. We have praise and worship music on right now at our house. You know, because it doesn't matter. Let's say, Meg, let's say you just cannot stand me. Oh, I just can't stand Starkey, okay? Well, if Bob was standing beside you all day long, hey, Starkey did this, Starkey did that, Starkey, 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 you're going to hate it. I just can't stand him, right? If you record your voice and say, Starkey, 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 and then played it while you were gone, while Maggie was there, Maggie still hate it, right? Okay? Amen. Well, it's the same way. The name of Jesus Christ is so powerful. But Satan hates it. Man, he was defeated at the cross. He cannot stand to hear that name. So, man, you know, I'm not telling you, you have to leave your radio on or CDs on and stuff, but man, just keep that continuous praise going on in your house. You know? And make sure you don't have the praise and worship music going on over here and you're watching something on TV you're not supposed to. It doesn't work that way, you know? It's totally allowing him. And your car is the same way. You get frustrated a lot driving because of the people, maybe. You know, put on your praise and worship music, you know? Maybe listen to country music all the time. I'm not bashing country. There's a lot of good, meaningful country songs out there. I think Tom T. Hall and stuff that gives a peacefulness. But just pop that out and put in praise and worship. Just welcome the presence of God in your car. Oh, I wasn't even a Christian yet. I had a Christian deputy I was riding with one night. And, I'm his sergeant, and I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus too much, you know what I'm saying? But he starts talking about the Lord. And he started talking more, and I could feel the presence of God in our cruiser because he had given me, it was a witness to me, knowing that, boy, he moved upon me that night. And so, the same way in our cars today. In the presence of God, awesome things take place. And he has a way of bringing a peaceness over you. You know, if you ever get frustrated, road rage and stuff, and we all go down. I mean, it's a terrible way some people drive anymore. Not me, of course. But just if you're in that state of relaxation and peace, you handle things a lot easier, a lot better than if you wasn't. You know, if you concentrate on something else. He says in Psalms 89:15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Well, know the joyful sound. And again, it's a joyful sound coming from your voice to God. A joyful sound. It's no different picking up your phone today and you have a child or a grandchild or someone says, hey, how you doing today? Just to hear that voice. Man, it just... Well, it lifts you up. That's what it does to God, is He hears your voice praising Him. You know, your praise reports. When you give a praise report that's centered around Jesus, and we got to make sure that our praise reports are centered around Him, not ourselves. You know, sometimes I think we're trying to tell people how good we are, what we've done, and we're killing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, we give God the glory for this. And man, it just, wow, it elevates the presence of God because we recognize what He's doing in our life. There are many actions involved with praise to God. We can verbally speak it out. We give thanksgiving. There's singing. There's playing instruments. You know, as Carol plays the organ or piano, a keyboard, you know. That's her way of worshiping God. Anybody out here a mechanic? Anybody out here carpenter work? Any ladies ever do laundry? Yeah, but see, again... That is, it still can be your worship. You know, hey, that's a good idea. Hey, well, I'm going to get out there and worship the Lord today. Get them dishes done. No. But seriously, when you're doing the laundry, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to thank you for the clothing I have. Oh, God, I want to thank you that I have soap today to clean them with. Or, Lord, you know, I want to praise you. I thank you for the dirty dishes that I have and I'm able to clean them today. I thank you for the food. Anything that we're doing, oh, Lord, I just thank you that you gave me the wisdom to fix my car today. Lord, I just thank you, Father. I just praise you that I'm able to repair my step that broke in my house. Whatever it is, you give Him praise for it. Worship Him for that. I mean, it's awesome. If you're mowing your grass, or if Joe, someone comes to mow your grass, oh, thank you, Lord, you sent someone to mow my grass today. I just thank you so much, you know. Just praise Him, you know. Or I thank my wife goes out and shovels snow for me. My back doesn't allow me to do that much anymore. I thank you, Lord, that she's able to do that. And I trade off by doing the dishes for her. It was just back and forth. Or I mow the grass because you can't mow the grass. Yep. There's the shouting to the Lord. And we see in the Bible there are several times where the people would surround their enemy and God would tell them to shout. And man would be set free by obeying God. Dancing, we see in the Bible. Lifting up our hands. You know, many of you do that. Or our favorite here in the assembly, clapping. Now we haven't got the rhythm down yet. But we're working on it, aren't we, Kenny?
Yes, sir.
But once you learn it, they say you have to have rhythm.
Never said, right, amen.
Never
I'm a testimony. I testify to that. Yeah. Mm-mm. Make a joyful noise, clapping hand. But the praise, true praise, is not just going through the motions, but it's being sincere. It's kind of like, Carol, I love you. Or, hey, Carol, I love you. Woohoo! I love you. I love you. I love you. Can't live without you. See the difference in that? One is sincere, or should be sincere. The other one, okay, I'm just going to say it. I got to do it. You know? And there's nothing wrong, folks. If you come in here someday, you're just beat up by the world. You've been dragged behind three automobiles. Your cat's bitten. Your dog ran away. To come in here and you're feeling so terrible. And you stand up and say, no, I don't care. I'm going to praise you, God. You know my heart's heavy right now. But now I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I was able to come in here today. I want to praise you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, so much. I want to thank you for my children. Oh, I want to thank you, God. And whoo, when you start doing that, and boy, you just, God comes down, your spirit goes up, and man, next thing you know, you're on top of the world again. So there's nothing wrong with priming the pump, what I'm saying. You don't feel like do it, but you know you want to. And man, it just, yep. Yep. Do what?
Exercising your faith.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Because we know, we can say, hey, I know I don't feel good right now. I feel right. But I know that praise the Lord, He'll meet me where I'm at. And so we enter into His presence knowing He's going to touch me. He's going to be glorified. I'll be strengthened. And I'll get through another day. In Matthew 15:8, He says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Because genuine praise to God is a matter of humility and sincere devotion to the Lord from within. So again, you can have, there's nothing wrong with great choirs. Some church might have 200 people in a choir, which is fine, awesome. If they're singing from their love for the Lord and you hear this thundering going out through the valleys or whatever, that's awesome. But if we're only singing just to sing, it doesn't do any good, you know. So it goes back to us individually. As you sing, man, it's such a sweet thing to God. It is. It has nothing to do with your neighbor. And I've never heard anybody yet complain about anybody else singing in the church. You know that? Don't ever think that, well, I've got to watch out, somebody come. No. When you're sincerely worshiping and praising God, that's the sweetest thing there is. It is. He come to hear the praises of His people. Now, if you're acting up and you're screaming just to be obnoxious, and there's a problem with that, okay? But if your heart is there, man, it just... I know a lot of times we all start singing here, and you'll notice it. Man, we'll get louder and louder. The presence of God is raising up, and we just want to say, hey, God, we love you! Can't contain it. You know? Who knows? Someday you might start dancing. I don't know. Praise and worship pleases the Lord. He delights in the love and devotion of us as children. If we look at the scriptures, the various expression of praise bring blessings to the Lord. He eagerly awaits the fragrance of our affections, desiring to come and be with us. His sweet presence and power in our midst. The true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So all too often, praise to God is something that many people leave at church, an event that happens only when they come together with other Christians. But praise and worship needs to be a lifestyle daily with us. In Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so as we leave the sanctuary, we continue to worship Him and praise Him. And again, as we stay in the focus of praise throughout every day, throughout every week, we'll find ourselves as being truly walking at peace and the joy that only the Lord can give us. Even after what we call a church service, I still don't like the word church service. I like called the gathering or the assembly or something like that, you know, because it's just like a service that starts and ends, and we don't start and end. We just continue on when we leave. You know what I'm saying? And so even during fellowship time around the tables, you know, may Jesus be uplifted. May we have the love to pray for one another, encourage one another. May He always be focused in the center of our lives and let Him do what He needs to do. In Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord all the time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Mm. And by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's in Hebrews 13:15. In 2 Chronicles 20:22, it says, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And the Scripture says, when they began to sing Him and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the children and Moab, which were against Judah, and they were smitten. Just think of that. You want to think about an ambush? Everybody know what an ambush is? You don't know it's coming. Now, it's one thing to see a fight coming, a war coming, and prepare for that. Amen? I mean, different. Like, if you're here on Bible study, a couple weeks ago, I brought my uniform back in. I used to wear my vest and my helmet and all that kind of stuff. It's easy for me to get that on and prepare if my shift starts at 11 o'clock at night, okay? But if I get awoken at 10 o'clock in the morning, wow, that can be an ambush to me. If I walk out right now, boom, someone shoots me, I've been ambushed, okay? I better have my life right with the Lord then. Before that, because otherwise it's going to be too late. Well, as you praise the Lord, as you give Him glory, as you live in a lifestyle of praising Him, He uncovers and distorts and squishes Satan when he tries to ambush you. I'm saying that when he tries to take you out, then God's already there to protect you. As you worship Him, you just allow that to be constantly. I mean, it's in our voices. It's where our mouth doesn't let anything unholy proceed from the mouth. It's when we don't, I know nobody here does it, but if some people we might know get involved in gossip and stuff like that, that kills the presence of God in our lives. Okay, so we make sure everything that comes out of our mouth is not even true. Oh, you don't be true, but sometimes truth you have don't need to speak it. You know, we got to remember that. Just because it's true, do you have any right to be talking about it anyway? Yeah, it's true, yeah. Becky, I'm going to tell you something, but it's the truth. Okay, I'm not lying to you. That way when you repeat it, you're not lying. No, but if we look at it, look how much God wants to do in us and through us. And we're the only one that really that stops Him moving in our lives by us not allowing Him to move in our lives. So we just can go back to what we've been talking about. Take every thought captive. Think about before you speak. You know, we was watching something on TV the other night. Oh, we was watching some of the speeches going on. And the president was talking to Afghanistan. And they had a 10-second delay before when they spoke until it come over. You know, I thought, sometimes it'd be nice for me if I have a 10-second delay once I spoke it and said it, that I could hear it again before it came out of my mouth. That way I could pull it back, you know. But so the best thing to do is watch what we say. Make sure what we're going to say is going to be glorifying to God and be edifying someone that we're speaking about. And there's several ways in the Bible that we can praise Him. And I won't go through every scripture here. I'll just share it with you. Then we're in our praise and worship today. Declaring of thanks, He talks about in Hebrews 13:15. Clapping hands, like we said earlier. Kenny's our clap master there. Musical instruments or dancing. You know, Carol plays the piano. Some of you folks out here, you might do it at home. You might have instruments at home that you play and you worship God with it. And dancing, I mean, the Bible talks about David dancing before the Lord. You know, and it says that David danced naked before the Lord. And what he meant by that, he wasn't naked as you're thinking he's naked. He laid down his kingmanship. He laid down his rank. He took off his... He wasn't king in front of God. He humbled himself before the Lord. And he danced before the Lord, just praising him. If he would have kept in mind that he's a king, he might be so full of himself that he wouldn't dance before the Lord. He wouldn't praise him. So when he said that David danced naked before the Lord, he laid down all the names that he had, all the rank that he had. He laid it down and worshipped him. It says, sing praise songs. And in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you lift them up, sing them. You get in the book of Psalms and start reading them. I want to praise you this morning, Lord. You just walk around in your family room, wherever you have your morning prayer or whatever, and you just start reading psalms to them and just listen to them. Making a joyful noise. And that joyful noise, you can go back to the carpenter and his hammer. Every time you hear ding, ding, he's making a joyful noise. You know, if he's giving God the glory, I say, well, thank you, Lord, I'm feeding my family. Amen, amen. Or even the guys, if your wife's out there cooking bacon in the skillet, oh, Lord, I can hear that bacon frying. Thank you for the food. You know, a joyful noise. Now, you got to admit, frying bacon is a joyful noise, right, guys? Yeah. Amen, amen. Nothing personal, Aaron. Okay. But lifting our hands is the way that we worship Him, you know. Sometimes, you know, I've had people ask before, do you care? Can I worship? Lift my hands sometimes in church? Yes, you can lift your hands. You let me praise Him. You know, sometimes we lift our hands to praise Him. Sometimes we sit there real quietly and we praise Him. You know, He sees our hearts. He sees what's going on. He knows if you're welcome here. Sometimes Psalms 4:3 says, just being still in the presence of the Lord. And sometimes it's being loud. All that comes together. All that comes together. And He just comes and dwells in us. You know? We just stay focused on Him. You know, one thing is kind of hard to do. Hey, come here a second, Carol. Oh, I'm not just going to use for a second, that's all. Give me your water, will you? I don't want to drink it, I just... Come here. Well, it's kind of hard. Right, hang on, let me put this down. There, look at that. Okay? Because look at this again. I don't want to spill water down my wife's back, do I? So I'm not really concentrating on her 100% right now, right? I got my eyeball on her, you know. But I don't have my whole mind concentrating on her because I don't want to spill this, okay? And maybe it's the same way as we enter to this presence on Sundays, okay? And we always have the coffee pot on Sunday morning. Get here, you have a cup of coffee, get woke up and stuff. But during praise and worship, during hearing His Word, let's just keep ourselves focused on Him. We don't have to worry about spilling our coffee cups or our water. We've all been there before, we've done it, okay? Set it aside. We have fellowship after the service, you know? Just dedicate ourselves to the Lord. That way we don't have to worry about, you know, I love to lift my hands right now, but I put down my donut and my coffee, you know? We just set those things aside. We come in here and we lift up our hands to the Lord and we praise Him. And we have a time of fellowship afterwards. And just give Him the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.